Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D Dentist Digital Implant Continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence-boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high-demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode.
And I think a lot of people are in your shoes. They know they want more. They just don't know what more is or what more could be. Is that a fair statement on my end?
Yes.
We've been misled to believe that dentistry, more specifically the dental business, has to be complicated. Dentistry can be simple, and dentistry should be simple.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode and another week of the Dentistry Made Simple podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Tarun T-Bone Agrawal, and each week I try to bring you practical, tactical advice on how you can make your practice better and build it more about what you do. And the reason I do this is because I live it and breathe it every single day as a practice owner, as a practicing dentist. I face the same struggles you face, and somehow I've managed to be less worse than most of us over time. And the reason I bring this up is this week we have one of our fellow 3D masterminders on the podcast with us, and we're going to have an open and honest conversation about how her practice is doing, what things have gone well, where we still have struggles, and hopefully you will hear a lot of yourself in today's conversation, and it will give you thoughts and ideas on how you can make your practice and make yourself better. So let me introduce to you Dr. Emily Weidowitz from Elroy, Wisconsin, and Weidowitz Dentistry. Emily, how are you doing today?
Doing great.
You know, your name isn't
here.
Listen, Emily, you're family at this point, right?
Yes, I'm ready for it.
Wait, we've had some very interesting conversations in this room over the years. One in particular I remember that we don't need to talk about. I was giving you a hard time about your name. It's very complicated.
I know. I regret it.
So you're saying you regret getting married is what I just heard.
Yes. No.
No. Don't do that.
No.
Emily, when did you join the mastermind?
I joined in January of 2022.
So 2 years ago.
2 years ago, a week after I had officially purchased the practice.
Okay. What? So you weren't really even having a lot of struggles at that point in time.
Well, I was an associate in this practice.
Okay, so you're an associate in the practice.
And I had been there 2.5 years, and I don't think I knew what struggles I was about to face when I joined Masterminds. I think it was more I was very inspired by you and loved a lot of the things that you talked about in your podcast. And I, as an associate, I struggled with busyness. That was really the only struggle.
When you say struggle. But that you're saying that looking backwards, right?
Looking backwards.
Yeah, so let's not look back. Number one, look, I would love for everybody listening to join the Mastermind. At the end of the day, we're booking into 2025, so that's one thing. And my goal isn't to be a sales pitch about Mastermind. I want to have a good, honest conversation with you about what you've gone through, right?
Sure.
And so let's put the lens on. Let's go back 2.5 years.
Okay.
Okay, you don't know what you know now, okay? So what challenges or frustrations were you facing as an associate And as an associate that was buying the practice, what didn't you like?
We didn't have a lot of systems in place.
Okay.
There was no block scheduling. There was no financial arrangements. We had no comb beam. We had Cerec Omnicam that we weren't using, collecting dust. So I think lack of technology, and I just had a growth mindset that I felt was stifled. And this isn't against anything against my previous boss. He's great. He was a great mentor, good friend of mine.
As a person that's been in dentistry a while, here's what I will tell you. More than likely, somebody will say that about me. Because what happens as you get a little bit older, you kind of get into cruise control. And you're like, well, I've only got 3 or 4 or 5 more years left of this. Why am I going to invest this money and time into things? And that's your job. You're the new owner, right?
So 100%.
You pick up the torch and kind of go with it. And my view is they should. I want that person that buys my practice to be successful. And so I assume the same thing that your owner had for you.
And he was open and honest about it. Yeah. He said, look, I'm not going to buy you a comb beam. I know you want to place implants, but you're buying the practice in a year. It does. So we had open, honest conversations about it. But I was just ready. I was hungry.
Okay. Let's paint a picture. Okay. So you're an associate. You're going to buy this practice. Where were you at clinically at this point in time?
I was pretty basic.
Like, what does basic mean?
I did endo.
Okay.
And I would dabble in molars.
So you did endo. I love this guy. I love this. I do endo, but not molars.
No, I did molars. I think because my boss was so good at molar endo and he was efficient, I would often give it to him.
Okay.
Even though I should have gotten outside of my comfort zone in order to get better, it was taking me 2 hours. I didn't, as an associate, I'm like, look, I could do...
You could do 4 fillings of that.
4 fillings. And yes,
yeah. Okay. Right. So what else? What else did you do at that point?
Fillings and crowns, extractions.
You ripped out teeth.
Ripped out teeth. I was dabbling in grafting.
Okay.
I took a course on that with Frank Caputo.
Yeah.
And
Frank's great.
I love Frank.
Yeah.
But again, it was a dabble, and I wasn't confident.
What dreams did you have for yourself? Like, so you know, you're an associate in practice. You're in this town. It's not a small town, but it's not a big town.
It's tiny.
Okay.
It's 1,200 people.
Okay. Well, so it's a small town. So, all right, and I that's good for me to totally understand and for our listeners to understand. So you're in this town. What dreams did you have for yourself at that point? Like, what? How did you envision dentistry for you, for Emily? Like, I'm going to be this when I grow up.
I think that was maybe the biggest challenge and something I'm just kind of getting over. It was lack of clarity.
Okay.
I wanted to place implants, but I didn't.
So you knew that?
I knew that, but I didn't really have a... I didn't have a reason why I wanted to. I think I just thought, oh, that'd be cool.
Okay.
You know?
I'd like to dabble in one more thing.
That's how I ended up in dentistry.
Yeah.
I didn't come out of the womb wanting to be a dentist. So I just kind of fell into it. So, yeah, I don't think I had a big vision other than something more than what I had. I think maybe that's what it was. I knew there was more out there. I wasn't quite sure what it was or what it looked like. I love to learn.
Yeah.
So... I knew learning and being curious was in that.
I think that's such a great, honest answer. And I think, like, I have a hard time understanding that in a way because I'm so narrowly focused. Like, I'm so, like, I know, I don't want to say I know what I want to do next, but I have, like, once I sit down to think about it, I kind of get this really good idea of where I want to go to. And I think a lot of people are in your shoes. They know they want more. They just don't know what more is or what more could be. Is that a fair statement on my end?
Yes.
So you would listen to my podcast or Sully's podcast, probably mine because it's better. Or just, maybe not. And you decided to take a leap of faith and join our mastermind program.
Uh-huh.
What made you do that?
I don't know.
Okay. I want an honest answer.
I was inspired by you.
Okay.
And it looked fun.
Okay.
It looked like it was going to be a good time. And
like what about it was fun? Because Sully's the fun guy. I you know, I'm the serious guy.
I think, your promo video, you're like doing fun stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm on an island. Look, I'm in the middle of nowhere. I didn't have a lot of dentists in my life that were as driven as me. My friends from dental school are wonderful. I went to school so much later. I graduated and wanted to hit the ground running.
When you say so much later, what do you mean?
I mean, I was 30 when I started dental school.
When you started dental school.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I already had kids.
Yeah.
You know, I had a different mindset when I graduated. So my dental school friends weren't ready to buy a practice, weren't ready to start placing implants.
Well, they were in the pre-family mode even.
They didn't have kids yet. Yes. Yeah. And
they literally didn't know what life was like.
So I think I was also really seeking community and other friends that were like-minded me.
And you also you said something very interesting. You said you're a driven person. Tell me more about that. How do you know that? And what makes you sad? Tell us more.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, podcast family. T-Bone here. Are you a dentist looking to elevate your practice and profits? Then pay close attention. Introducing the 3D Business Mastermind, the dental business coaching program designed for dentists who want to see real results. I've walked the path of practice ownership for nearly 25 years. I know your challenges. I felt your pain. This is your opportunity to overcome the chaos, the busyness, and the financial frustrations of owning a dental practice. Imagine a dental practice where your appointment book is highly productive, doing the dentistry you enjoy, your team is self-motivated, and your profits keep climbing. That's what the 3D Business Mastermind is all about. In this exclusive mastermind, you'll join a league of ambitious dentists driven to elevate their practices. You'll gain access to proven strategies, personalized coaching, and a community that understands your journey. So if you're ready to supercharge your dental practice and enjoy the success you deserve, visit www.3d-dentists.com and take the first step towards a brighter future in dentistry by filling out the 3D Business Mastermind application. Now, let's get to this week's episode.
When I make my mind up on something, when I finally do, nothing can stop me. I mean, I didn't get into dental school the first time I applied, and it didn't faze me. I just went back, figured out what I needed to do, and got it done. I think many of us in this profession are driven. You can't be a dentist and not be driven in some level.
I question that sometimes because some of the people I meet don't seem very driven. Or maybe it's just a different level. Like, I guess I'm so darn driven, like me personally, that it just seems like most people aren't driven to me, right? Because I'm just so narrowly focused on... Well, just being driven, just more, right?
I think you're more driven than I am, but...
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I'm less and less driven now than I used to be. Like, if you had met me 10 years ago, you probably wouldn't like me.
Okay.
But, okay. So, So you joined the mastermind, a little bit of a leap of faith. You had no earthly idea what you were getting into.
No idea.
Okay. What about mastermind shocked you?
I didn't know what I was getting into, but I didn't realize... I thought I was a good communicator with patients. Yeah. I thought I had that in the bag. I can talk to people... You know, and I didn't think I needed to work on that, but man, I did. I actually sucked at it. And when I started just applying this basic stuff, what an impact it had on my ability to close cases and start doing the type of dentistry that I wanted to do.
All right, so let's unpack that for a second, okay? So what I just heard is that you're a pretty personable person, which I agree. Okay, you're fun to hang out with. You make the best old fashions.
True.
Okay, and didn't you make me pancakes one other time?
You make great pancakes and old fashions.
Yeah, so the old fashions I will 100% vouch for. I think one time the pancakes were not so great.
That's false.
All right, they were definitely very good every single time. So you definitely have a good personality, and I hear this all the time from people that are relatively personable. Okay, I'm a good communicator because I'm a personable person. What specifically did you realize that made you not a good communicator when it came to talking about dentistry with patients?
I wasn't asking the right questions.
And what are some examples of that?
Asking permission from the patient to point out, make them aware of treatment, asking them what they want.
So how simple is that?
Right. Ask simple questions. Are you happy with your smile? I never realized what can of worms that can open
in a good way. And sometimes in a bad way too. Yeah.
Yeah. So stuff like that.
Okay. And what has the result been of that? Like, give me some specificity. Just simply like what I want the listener to do is, man, if I just go back and ask these simple questions, like I'll get a different result. And what are some of those different results?
Big picture,
yeah.
I'm seeing half as many patients as I used to in a day. Maybe not half.
All right.
Maybe half some days.
Okay. Like what would like 2.5 years ago, what would a typical day? Like how many patients would you see?
It's easily 10 to 12.
On your schedule?
On my schedule.
Like your two columns, I assume.
Yeah, it was like.
The stack.
Whatever that is.
Yeah, yeah. The crisscross.
The crisscross.
Yeah, I totally, mm-hmm. The dovetail schedule, mm-hmm. Like where you work your ass off, basically.
Right.
All right, so you would see 10 to 12 patients a day, mm-hmm. And then you would check the hygienist.
Three of them.
Three hygienists. I think that's the greatest thing about North Carolina is that we have a law that says you can only have two hygienists per dentist. And then now, how many patients do you typically, not your best day, but not your worst day, what would an average day be?
Four.
Four. Four or five, like literally your average patient, your average day is four or five patients.
Yes, easily.
Wow, that's amazing to me. Now, has this come at the cost of revenue?
No.
No. Okay. All right. That's good to know. Have you grown revenue-wise?
Yes.
Okay. That's good. I mean, I know some of these answers. I don't know the specifics because I look at your numbers on a monthly basis. But all right. So what else was surprising to you? So one was the importance of communication, but yet the simplicity and the difference in what we think we need to communicate and what we actually need to communicate with patients.
Sure. And then, I mean, with the communication came photography.
Okay.
I think the other surprise, maybe surprising, was what's possible.
Tell us more about that.
Being around the other masterminders, and of course you and Sully, but also just the other masterminders to know, just by investing in myself and my practice, I'll use Adam and Allie as an example.
I know you're close to Allie. You guys are like friends at this point, like sisters almost.
CHBs?
No, I'm not. No. That's Allie. Allie owns CHB, okay? She's the cold-hearted bitch, right?
Yeah. Just the mindset of growth, where that can take you. Because, again, my boss wasn't in that mindset, and it wasn't a bad thing for him.
He's just in a different phase of life.
Exactly. Pouring, like as Sully says, just pour gasoline on reinvesting into your practice, where that can take you.
Give us some examples of that. Like let's share with the listeners, what are some of the things, like I hear this, reinvest in yourself, but let's talk about the specifics. Like give us a few areas that you've done that.
Sure. I bought a comb beam. I bought a prime scan. I bought an extra mill. I bought, I went to implant courses.
Yeah.
I've taken, by the end of this year, I don't know how many CE credits I get for your courses, but.
I'm not even sure we give them.
Do we get 50? Let's call it 50 that I've, after this year, when I'm done with Frank's Maxi course, I'll have easily 500 hours of implant CE, which is maybe too much.
Yeah.
But
I don't believe this too much.
Well, in a 2-year span, it was a bit much. But
sure. Okay.
So reinvesting in myself, technology, into the business, investing into my team members.
Okay. Let's break that down. I'm sorry to interrupt. Okay. So you reinvested in yourself through CE
yes.
Basically. Like, in other words, you expanded your clinical skills. You reinvested into the practice in one way was through technology. You added CBCT, you upgraded your digital camera, you added another milling unit, you've added some different things along the way. But then now you're leading into, you reinvested into your team members. Mm-hmm. Tell us more about that.
Well, you know, and I've gone through some team members, know that.
It's
a whole other podcast.
No, but that's
we could touch on that.
Yeah, we should.
So in the reinvesting in myself and the practice, and I mentioned maybe I took too much CE in a 2-year span. I also maybe did things a little too quickly in hindsight.
Like what you said, some things. Like what specifically stands out to you that is this one? Because there's got to be something on your mind. Like what is the one thing?
Everything. I mean, I did
pick one. Pick one thing that you did too much too quickly.
Gosh, literally everything.
Just make up one. Just give me one.
The technology.
Okay. What do you mean? Like what was the outcome of that? Like what happened?
Well, when you add same day crown workflow, that's a whole, workflow of getting the team scheduling used to it, the patients used to it. And then also adding CBCT in the same month. I don't think I realized the toll it takes on the team and myself to learn this new stuff at that pace, while trying to run a new business. So
you think that's a product of how driven you are?
Yes, and it's a problem.
to give the listeners context again, I have a I obviously, since we connect on a monthly basis, and obviously you're here a lot, we've gotten to know each other pretty well. And one of the things that when I'm working with Emily, I talk to Emily about there's bulldog time and there's time to not be Emily the bulldog, right? And so that's kind of our running joke a little bit, is that Emily's a bulldog. And so that is a challenge for driven people, myself included, is that, and the other challenge is we're relatively smart at what we do, correct? We didn't get to this stage in life with a doctorate degree and different things without being probably smarter than most, right? And so our challenge that we have is that we pick up things pretty quickly, and then we have the most vested interest in learning all of this stuff. And most of our team members work for us because they want a place to work and earn, but they also don't live it and breathe it the way we do. Is that kind of?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, right. So the bulldog Emily got it all done in a year, you know, all the goals I had and implementing. But at what cost?
Yeah. And what was that cost?
Team members, which, you know, some I let go, some retired, some moved, a few left that stung and still sting. Yeah. So I've had to then, the problem is I didn't really listen to you, and even though I thought I was, because you told me not to do that, and the whole slow down to speed up, I thought I was doing that.
And you were, in your mind.
In my mind, I was doing that, but I was still grinding 5 days a week, and seeing fewer patients, but I was like, more, I want more.
And there's a price.
There's a price.
Yeah. I'm not even talking about the personal price. I'm talking about the unseen price of the pressure and stakes we put on the people around us, mm-hmm. our team members. I'm not talking about our spouses and kids and stuff. Like that is a risk we know going into it. Like, you knew what it was going to cost you. Mm-hmm. Okay. I think what you didn't quite know was what it was going to cost people around you.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hello, podcast family. T-Bone here, bringing you our newest live patient implant training, Full Arch Express. For dentists already placing implants and ready to level up and continue building their implant practice, this is the golden ticket. We're diving deep into Full Arch Implants, the hottest game changer in implant dentistry. In this program, we tackle both overdentures and all-on-X fixed hybrids, mastering techniques that are essential for modern, comprehensive dental care. It's about getting your hands on the tools and techniques that will replace the doubt and fear with confidence and predictability. Here's the kicker. There's live patient training right here in North Carolina. You're not just learning theories. You're in the operatory doing real work on real patient from start to finish, guided one-on-one by our expert 3D mentors. You'll learn the nuances of each approach, ensuring you can cater to a wide range of patients to maximize revenue. Speaking of revenue, with me, you know it's not just about the clinical skills. We're bringing business into this aspect too, teaching you how to integrate these advanced services profitably into your practice. So are you ready to rise up to the top in implant dentistry? Join us at the Full Arch Express. This isn't just another course, it's a career-defining leap. Head to www.3ddentist.com to enroll in our next session. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now, back to this week's episode.
Yeah. Once I figured that out, I spent all of last year really working on myself, leadership, personal growth.
Like, be more specific.
I read every leadership book under the sun and listened to
give
them.
Give me one.
One that really helped me, and I've read it twice because the first time it didn't sink in, was The Gap and the Gain.
Okay.
I have an issue, like many people, of only seeing where I want to be.
Yeah.
And I'm constantly measuring against my ideal. And I spent that whole first...
And by the way, our ideal is this perfection that doesn't really...
Yes,
like, it
right.
never ends.
And now I'm so much happier that I've learned to measure about, gosh, look at where I've come. This is amazing. And then that has helped my confidence, too, in my leadership. So that sort of stuff, you know, reading books, meditating has helped.
Yeah, I do yoga. I was doing it.
We haven't done it in a while.
I know. Like, life has gotten in the way, hasn't it?
Yeah. Because of that, I've now rebuilt up my team, and to the point where I feel like I'm no longer feel like I'm being held hostage, where I'm afraid somebody's going to quit.
Did you used to feel that way?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you really don't feel that way right now?
I would be really sad if people quit now because I actually really, truly like my team for the first time. Like, really. So I would be sad. But you've helped me work through those, you know, not...
Well, I'm just there as a friend, right? Right. Yeah. And having been through a lot of this stuff and still going through a lot of those things, right? You know, life is a progression of different experiences that make us better. That's what wisdom is, right? And I just enjoy sharing it. I enjoy being a friend, right? You know, a partner that you know. And to me, a friend is not someone that tells you everything's going to be okay. A friend is somebody that tells you what we have a tough time hearing sometimes, you know. But also to be encouraging for people as well.
Yeah.
Well, what else? What other things like have you implemented? So you talked about investing in yourself. You talked about technology. You've talked about photography. Let's go into photography a little bit more. I think this is an area where people don't really, like, did you really understand what I meant by how important it was?
No, and you weren't the first person, like, I've done Spear, right?
Right.
And they talk about photography a lot.
That's one of the ways I learned it.
Again, I was like, I don't need photos.
Like, why did you think that?
Because I was dumb. And I never had the accountability. Like, the thing that helped me was when Mastermind Weekend 1, when first step that we need to do is buy cameras, I don't fail. I hate failing. So I knew I had to do that. Again, too much of that, I think, in the first year was external pressures that I was putting on myself to things from the external to try to do well. And I wasn't doing it for myself. But implementing photography, it works. I have to say, that's the single best thing that I did other than the communication.
Yeah. Communication doesn't happen if we don't have photography, right?
Yeah.
And photography is communication. At the end of the day, photography is a form and a part of communication.
Yeah. I couldn't practice without it. And I've heard people say that once you start taking photos, you couldn't imagine life without it. And that's so true. I mean, I won't do a limited exam without a full set of photos now.
All right. Talk to me. When you say you've implemented photography, let's talk about the equipment. Do you have, like, how many cameras do you have? Talk to me about that.
Not one in every op. Sorry.
Yeah, that hurts my feelings, Emily. How short are we?
Well, we have three.
Okay.
So the hygienists have, I have my own.
Okay.
So.
Okay. And as you should.
Yeah. And then I think the assistants and the hygienists share the other two.
How many more would you need to get to where you, not one per operatory, but at least one per hygienist and one per assistant?
I should buy another one. And we've talked about it at team meetings.
Okay, so are you making a commitment now because since you don't like to fail?
Shoot, yeah.
you know, my saying is, if we know something works, why don't we do more of that?
Now that I'm saying it out loud, it is so silly because it's not the cost holding me back.
No, it's not the $1,000, $2,000, right?
I don't know. I don't have a good answer for you.
No, I'm not here to, a little bit. I'm here to test you. But, like, you know, like I was shocked today at the boot camp that how many offices that, like, I coach all those offices in there, right? And I'm like, what do you mean you don't have one per operatory? Like, and because I know the numbers of the practices, right? So I know some of the gains that we're at. Like, the practices, maybe we're not seeing the gains or the gains are taken. I can totally get maybe we're stair-stepping it in. But some of the practices, I'm like, I know your gains, man. Like, what's the problem here? Mm-hmm. And again, like, how many operatories do you have, by the way?
Six.
So I'm not saying you've got to go from zero to six, but like I don't want to use the word disappointment, where my frustration lies is that you stopped at three. And how long have you been at three cameras?
2 years.
Yeah. So you.
But it's working. That's why I stopped.
But therein lies the whole point of all of that, what I talk about, right? Is if we know that if I went from zero to three cameras and it did this, why would I stop at three?
It's. Now that I'm hearing it out loud, it is silly.
Like, why wouldn't I go to four? And if you go to the fourth and it doesn't add anything, stop. Okay? Uh-huh. But if we know that we added three and it worked, I would be like, I want to do more of that until it stops working. Until it stops and still it stops producing. And then if I add a fourth one and that works, I'm like, well, then I'll add a fifth one. Right?
Yeah.
And then I'm automatic at a point where I just want to have an extra camera just in case. Right? You know, and so we're at one per operatory, legitimately, not per, it is literally one per operatory. They're assigned to each room. And we've been that way for a long time. And so that's where I want you to get to, but I want you to stair step it, like one, two, three.
I don't do that. I'm in my head. I'm like, no, I need to just order three cameras.
No, just buy the fourth one.
Yeah.
see that it works.
Okay.
Then buy the fifth one. That could be a month later. I mean, it's not like you get a discount from it. Certainly not an appreciable. I mean, it might be $10 less. It doesn't matter, right? That's not going to make a difference in our life. And back to kind of, it's a very interesting kind of like one of the things you just said was that you implemented too much too quick, right? And here you are trying to do that again. You know, that's a personality flaw that you and I both have, is that we're ready to go all in, but the people around us aren't necessarily ready to go all in. And so I would just buy one. It'll be in Elroy, Wisconsin. Prime is like 4 days. Prime is 4 days in the city of 1200. Okay. What else? Let's share one more thing that has been a surprise for you.
That it works?
Yeah. So what about, talk to us about scheduling a little bit.
Sure. So
what was your rhyme and reason for scheduling before? And what's your rhyme and reason for scheduling now?
There was no rhyme or reason.
I know that.
It
was basically fill the books.
It was fill the books. And you know the story. I mean, the person that was in charge of filling the books, she did that because that's what she was told to do in the past. And she was rewarded on a full schedule.
Yeah.
And
you know, Sully always says that his dad, Rick, you know, we love Rick, right?
Yes.
But Rick's, you know, he's 59, 60 years old. The guy has more energy than all of us combined, probably. Rick always says, him and Sully would say, and Sully was repeating what Rick said, was, I measured how good I was doing by how tired I was at the end of the day. So that was kind of this person's mentality, right?
Yeah.
Is how tired can I make Emily? Because that means I've done a good job if they're tired.
It's funny you mentioned that because Tuesday before I left, I was leaving Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So I wanted to get people in. So I did a hybrid in the morning. And usually that's my day. I just call it. I stick around and I coach, but I don't. But then I did an endo in the afternoon. It was a pain of an endo too. And then I delivered a couple implant crowns. And at the end of the day, I said to my assistant Angel, I said, I am so worn out. And I haven't felt this way. I haven't felt this feeling, I think, in a long time. But I used to feel it that every day.
I want to. So let me back up again. You did a hybrid in the morning.
Uh-huh.
You did the endo. And then what did you do?
I delivered two implant crowns. It was a great case. Came to me off the street with two implants ready to restore.
So in this town of 1200, there's just people walking around in the streets.
Yeah. Well, he drove in.
Here's why you were tired. The concept of context switching. Mm. Your mind went from something so complicated as such as a hybrid, because it's not that hybrids are complicated. There's just a lot going on, right? And there's a lot of pressure until you get really good at them, right? Mm-hmm. And then you went to something so like minute. You're so focused on these three little canals or four little canals in this little molar the guys on Instagram, they try to teach us to make the tiniest little access to where we can't even see what the hell we're doing in there, right? And then you went to delivering something else. So what really tired you out there wasn't the physical part of it. It was the mental part of it. I bet you money you would have been less tired if you did two hybrids that day.
That's interesting. I didn't think of it that way.
Yeah, it's because you're mentally switching gears. So, and that's like kind of like the days where you have your column of five, six, seven, eight things where you're doing different things throughout the day. You're filling here, crown here, endo here, this there. And then you're going to do a hygiene check. And each hygiene check, it's a simple hygiene check, then a complex. Like your mind and your body, your personality has to change so many times. It's literally exhausting. Mm-hmm. You know, it's exhausting. So I bet money, because you know I've been on you about this, right? Mm-hmm. Is that I want you to break the next thing, which is to do two cases in one day.
We're going to get there.
We're going to commit, because I know that now if I make you commit in public that you will make it happen.
I'll do it by May.
All right. So let's end our conversation talking about implant dentistry. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because I think this has been an area of great surprise for you. What was your vision for yourself with it when it came to implant dentistry?
Once I decided I was going to place implants and I signed up for your course, my vision was that I wasn't going to fail.
Yeah.
And again, maybe that was some external, like I have an ego and I.
You must have Asian parents.
They're very white. and one thing I learned from you when I take a CE is to have those cases stacked up and ready for when I get back. So I did the course Tuesday morning. I put it in two implants. Then I think 2 days later, I put in another one, and I didn't charge these people, which maybe I should have.
No,
but I wanted the cases. I wanted them.
Yeah, I want your team to see you do it.
Yes, and build their confidence. And I really owned it. I think that's why I've been so successful with implants. As I came home, I had a lunch and learn. I showed the team how to schedule everything, and I learned this from you. I didn't make this up.
Oh, that's
pre-schedule every appointment, the implant placement, the restoration. I was committed to taking the scan the day of placement. And then I also committed to making them in office.
Did you have a desire to do complex implant dentistry when you first started?
No.
Like you would have been happy doing onesie twosie implants.
I thought I would be.
Yeah. In fact, I remember a conversation where you said, I don't want to do any of this.
I literally said that.
And I see nothing wrong with that because I used to say that. I literally said, right now I say, I don't want to do zygomas. And very likely I won't ever because it's just a different stage of my life, right? You know, I'm 48 years old, almost 50 years old. And, you know, there are some things at this point in time, I just don't want to risk in my life, right? Now, so you went back and you started doing extraction and grafts.
Mm-hmm.
Do you do extractions now?
Plain extraction?
Yes.
No.
That's why I asked the question. And so one of the things that we pressed you on, I don't want to say forced, okay? We pressed you on that we teach is stop doing extractions. Mm-hmm. Instead, do extraction grafts, mm-hmm. okay? And then the next thing we teach is once you get good at that is we teach stop doing extraction grafts and start doing tooth replacement therapy, right? And that's where you commit the patient to going all the way. Mm-hmm. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, and I got so much pushback from my team when I told them, guys, I'm no longer taking out teeth unless the patient wants a graft. And I got so much pushback. You know, we're in a small town. We used to do a lot of limited exams. I'll rip out the tooth today.
Yeah.
Who cares that I'm running four columns? I felt so bad for the person. And I still do, but
yeah.
That's a different topic too. And the funny thing is that people are doing the grafts.
Yeah, it's amazing when you tell people this is what's in your best interest and how we do things.
Yes.
Remember, it always, for our listeners, I know you understand this, it always comes from a place of do unto others as you'd have done unto self. If I had a tooth taken out, in fact, when I did have a tooth taken out, I insisted that I wanted to preserve the bone in the event that I ever wanted to replace it, right? And so I believe that firmly that every time we take a tooth out, maybe except for some first molar, some second molars and third molars, I want to do a bone graft in that area to preserve the ridge, to give the ridge the best chance of giving me the choice of replacing it down the road. Mm-hmm. And so what was the outcome? Those patients basically said no problem?
Yeah, no problem. Insurance doesn't even cover it. No problem.
No problem. Was that a shock to you?
Yes.
What about how'd your team react when they saw that?
Well, all those people are gone now. So the new people just think that's normal.
It's normal. Okay.
I think they, jokes aside, I think they did see they finally got on board, I guess you could say, you know, wow, this does work.
How did you transition to now you're like, hey, I want to do more complex implant dentistry?
I just fell in love with it. I mean, my first year, I took the course in the summer, and that half of the year, I placed 10 implants, so nothing crazy. But
so let's give a timeline. So July 2022.
Took the course.
You took our course. In my opinion, the best one. But nonetheless,
yes.
You took our tooth replacement therapy program, which is extraction graft and 1Z, 2Z guided implantology. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you took that program, and then you placed 10 implants the rest of that year.
Yes.
Okay, and that's not bad, but it's nothing to write home about, right?
And I wanted more.
Yeah,
I loved
who doesn't?
It. I mean, the days that I had an implant were just, I was excited. To come to work that day. So then I set a goal for 2023. I said, team, I want to place 50 implants.
50.
And everyone was like, that's crazy. We're never going to hit that. And then we were at 30, I think, at the end of March. And so I had a meeting. And I said, guys, the new goal is 100. And I placed 98. Last year.
Oh, you failure.
I know.
You fail. I would have put two in for free on somebody.
I didn't think of that. Shoot.
That's how my Asian mind would have thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, wow. So this part I didn't know. I didn't know the exact numbers on this because I kind of focus on the top level numbers.
Yeah.
In 2020, so 2021, you placed zero implants.
Zero.
First half of 2022, you placed zero implants. The last half of 2022, you placed 10 implants. And then in 2023, you did 98. How much marketing did you do?
Zero.
To me, I'm shocked that you didn't say the most surprising thing to you was how much dentistry was in your practice and in your town.
I didn't think of it, but that should have been what I said.
Yeah. Like, it's shocking.
It's shocking. And cosmetic cases.
And these, by the way, these are mostly patients that have been coming to you for a long time?
Forever.
So it's not like suddenly you market, like you told the world, I do implants, and now our influx of 100 new people came to your practice.
Very few of those implants that I placed were people that came from a referral. There were some.
Yeah.
You know, like word of mouth.
80% were existing patients.
That I grafted.
Yeah. But you grafted the existing patients.
Yeah.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Mm-hmm. Well, and cone beam was a big part of that because we were finding these giant abscesses a lot, some of the time. Depending on the situation, I'd send them to endo.
Yeah.
And then I started realizing which ones are being sent back to me for an extraction. So then I was more confident in saying,
my history tells me something like
yes,
this.
Yes, you can always go see somebody to get a second opinion, but if you were my dad, this is what I would recommend.
It's such a powerful statement.
It is.
If this were my tooth, this is what I would do. If you were my family member, this is what I would do. Right. Such a powerful statement.
And it's freeing as a clinician when you're making these decisions to really visualize your dad in the chair.
Yeah.
You know you're making the right call.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I tell, a lot of times I tell my, and this is the truth, is that, you know, like when Liz is with me, I say, you know, I did this type of work on Liz's mom. Liz's mom chose me.
Yeah.
You know, or when I tell people I did this on my uncle, you know, I tell my dad, I'm doing this on my dad. You know, this such a powerful thing to say to people. All right, so you wanted more.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you did 198 implants failure in 2023. And so what did you want for 2024?
So some of those 98 were in arches.
Okay.
I took Jock's overdenture core shortly after I took the I think right away I knew I wanted more.
I think late 2022.
I took Jock's overdenture course. And honestly, and I told you this when I signed up for it, I really wanted to know more about how to restore these cases and just kind of get the big picture. And then I came home, did a couple overdentures. And then last year, I did a couple full arches too. And it was when I took the Full Arch Express.
In October.
And then came home and did three arches from October to January. Just fell in love with it. And so did my team.
Yeah.
And that was the coolest part, was that I brought my team to the course and just so proud of them for how they've helped me.
Before we helped you see, or you saw that bringing your team to thing was kind of the key to really making things go at the practice, were you ever taking team members, were your friends taking team members to the CE classes with them?
No.
No. Like, we know we have a group of probably, 40 people here? And it's probably seven dentists and 35 team members, you know, are here this week.
Yep.
And it's so powerful to invest in your team. Yeah. And you made a comment to me earlier, your team member, what did she say to you?
When we went to the ortho course?
Yeah.
Oh, that she's been in dentistry forever.
Yeah.
Not calling her old, but she's got gray hair.
Yeah.
I don't think she listens to podcasts. Do I?
I don't know. No, okay. Absolutely not, Emily. Absolutely not.
Blonde. She had never been taken to a course like this, or a course.
You know? You think she's been in dentistry 20 years?
Yeah. Looking at her.
Yeah, okay, 20 years, okay?
Yes.
So 20 plus years. Mm-hmm. So in 20 plus years of working in dentistry, no one has ever taken her to a CE class.
No, and I'm sure she's been to like local lectures.
Yeah, I don't, that's no count.
Like, on an airplane.
Society meeting.
To a course, yeah. Never.
And she was grateful for that.
She was so grateful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's gone back and implemented the stuff, hasn't she? Yeah, it's crazy how this works, doesn't it? If that works, then my next question is like, how are you doing that to the rest of them, right? And so let's come back to the arches. I digress, squirrel. Okay. So again, have you done any marketing?
Zero
marketing. Talk to us about the number of cases that you're doing.
I have 9 arches lined up. I've already completed some of those.
Yeah.
With no marketing.
No marketing.
Yeah.
Crazy.
More than I ever could have. Maybe it's dumb luck. I can't figure it out. Yeah.
Look, number one, there's low-hanging fruit. Okay? Because, and it also has to do with the geography of where you're at. You're in a smaller town. While the town is 1,200, that's not the full story. It's a catch area of probably, what, 20, 30, 40-mile radius? Mm-hmm. Okay, so, you know, patients will probably drive 45 minutes is my guess to see you. So within that 45-minute range, my guess is there's probably 10,000 people or so.
Maybe even more. Maybe, that's fair. Yeah.
15,000 people.
Sure.
And so some of it is you'll, and this is by, I'm making a point, is that most people go straight to marketing. And I'm like, well, before you go to marketing, why don't we just pluck off the low-hanging fruit? Because in that time, like, would you say now, nine arches in, that you're better at doing arches?
Yeah. I mean, better. Yeah. A lot of growth.
We all have a lot of growth.
It's a journey.
Right? But you're better, right? Mm-hmm. And so now when you do marketing, you'll be even more prepared for people. And you may find that you don't have to do marketing. You may be happy with doing one a month or two a month or whatever it turns out to be. You know, you may be very happy at that. Okay. What would you tell somebody that listens to this and says, I am Emily? What would you tell your own? What would you do differently? How would you look back and tell Emily Weidowitz of 2.5 years ago? What would you tell them what would you tell them?
To enjoy the journey more.
Okay.
I think I did not enjoy the journey. I was so head down, focused. And now I'm enjoying the journey. And I'm happier.
Okay.
I'm less stressed. And I'm doing more stressful stuff. And hybrids are stressful.
Oh.
But I'm having fun even when, you know, I had a little complication the other day. And it was like, it was fun because I knew what to do.
I got to tell a funny story. My favorite is, like, me and Sully and Rick, we have this competition that, you know, every once in a while, Emily will reach out to us.
I know what you're going to say.
And she's like, I got a quick question. And I'm like, so in my head, I'm like, am I number one, two, or three of people you texted? Because, you know, you have a patient in the chair. But my point in that is I think what is we're family. Like, I call it the 3D family, right? Mm-hmm. And that's probably the thing I'm the most proud of in what we continue to build here. Is that we're committed to the concept that it's not a transactional relationship. We don't want it to be a transactional relationship. We want it to be a familial relationship where we get to know people. We get to know funny things about people. We get to have dirt in us, you know, good dirt, like funny stories, you know, on people. And we get to know more about them and know more about what makes them tick. And we get to... We get to support each other because you said we're on an island and you, in a town of 1,200 people, you're definitively on an island, you know, and so that to me is one of the things I'm most proud of. What else would you tell 2.5 years ago, Emily?
Slow your roll.
Yeah.
It's a marathon, not a sprint. But then again, I wouldn't be where I am maybe if I hadn't been the bulldozer.
Yeah.
Is it
safe to say that you can't be the same bulldozer moving forward?
I can't. I don't have it in me.
Let's pretend you had it in you. Would it be safe to be the same bulldozer?
Oh, I have it in me to be the bulldozer.
I
don't have it in me to lose any more people.
There. Okay. Perfect. Yeah.
Because I what I have now, I very proud of what I've built with my team, my current team, and our culture. We're not where I want to be, but
we're never where we want to be,
right? But I, if people leave now, it needs to be for other reasons than
you.
And I don't think people leave because of me anymore.
Good, I love that, Emily. Thank you so much for being so open and sharing. I loved our conversation, and I hope our listeners do too. I hope they see themselves in you. And I hope that you inspire them to be a different version of themselves. How can people get in touch with you?
My Instagram handle does not have Weidowitz in it, so
don't have
to worry about spelling it. It's Emily Estelle 3.
Okay. How do you spell that?
Emily, the regular way.
Okay.
Estelle 3.
Okay. So at Emily Estelle 3. Instagram is the best way to get in touch.
Yeah.
Emily, I want you to know how proud I am of you and what you continue to do and how you continue to grow and you take in the push. And what I love the most is that you don't push back in a negative way or in a arrogant way. You push back, but also say, you know what, maybe. It's always a maybe, right? And I'm okay with that, you know, I'm okay with whatever timeline that people want to, well, I'm mostly okay with whatever timeline they want to take. And I'm just so proud of to see where you've come. And if you don't mind, percentage-wise, how much has your practice grown in the last 2 years?
I'm bad at math.
You know, I can
give actually.
Yeah, you can, whatever you're comfortable sharing.
I guess there's a way to look at my growth in maybe a different way. I was working 2022. I worked 211 days, and I think the office collected 1.8. Let's just call it. In 2023, I worked 155 days.
Oh, well, that's 60 less days.
Patient days.
Yeah, sure, of course.
And we collected 2.2.
Wow. So you worked 60 less days and you collected 400K more.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know why you don't have more cameras.
Oh. And we just hit $500,000 for the year.
And it's we're 2 months in.
Yeah, my goal this year was 2.5. So now we're going to have to, I'm going to have another meeting.
I love it.
Yeah, and I don't say those things to brag.
I asked the question.
Yeah, it's something that I am really proud of, just that I was able to cut back and still, because I want to collect money.
Yeah, you know? We have to.
Yeah.
Yeah, and part of it is we have to because we have a life, and part of it is we want to reward the people around us.
Yes, and that is one of my favorite things, is bonusing the team and being able to take them on trips like this. It's just, it's very rewarding, sharing a piece of the pie.
Thank you, Emily.
Thank you. This is fun.
Absolutely.